Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so glad that you joined me on today. Truly, this is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. The scripture said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt the name of the Lord together." And so truly, God is worthy to be praised, and we come to praise him and bringing him live right there to your locale, wherever you're at on today. Today we have another glorious, glorious lesson to look at on today and behold what God is doing in and through the land. And so I'm going to invite your attention to go with me on today over to Genesis. Our lesson is on Noah and him fearing God. And let's take a look at that lesson. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter number 6, verses 6 through 8, Genesis number 7, verses 1 through 5, Genesis 8, verse 1, Genesis 9, and verse 1. I want to, again, just take a moment before we get right into that lesson and start reading our scripture to say I welcome each and every one of you, all of my listeners around the world. I'm just so excited about you, those that are there in the Philippines and those there in Africa and those here in the United States, wherever your place of residence at right now or where you're listening from. You have tuned into anointed teaching lessons from biblical principles that's coming to empower you and strengthen you with the word of God. Again, our lesson is going to be on Noah and him fearing God. And we're going to look and gain a better understanding about Noah and him fearing God and moving forward to doing the work and the will of God. Now, again, I invite you, let's look at Genesis chapter number 6, verses 6 through verse number 8. And it reads on this line, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at its heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Genesis chapter number 7, verses number 1 to 5. "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come, thou, and all thy house into the ark for thee, for I have seen righteous before me in this generation. And of every clean beast thou takest to thee seven, the male and its female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. And of the fowls also of the air by seven, the male and the female, to keep seeds alive upon the face of the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." Now we're going to look at Genesis 1 and 8. "And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water assured." Now, Genesis chapter number 9, verse number 1. "And God blessed Noah and his son, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Now, let's take a look at the word of the Lord on today. Over in Hebrews chapter 11. It states, "For by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heirs of righteousness, which is by faith." Let's look at the focused thought. It said, "Fearing God is always reflected in obedience to him, and he always rewards obedience." Let's take a look at the word of the Lord on today. Again, it said Noah far from being a marina, began building a strange-looking boat with a one small window. Moreover, as he built it, he proclaimed to all who listened that God told him a flood was coming to destroy civilization. Couple this strange scenario with the fact that in the history of the world, it had never rained, and a person had the plot for a very interesting story. But this story is not from the Library of Ancient Hebrew Folklore. The true story of Noah and the Ark have leaked from the Bible to the capture the imagination of young and old alike in every generation for nearly 40 centuries. When God told Noah it was going to rain, he believed it. When God told Noah to build an ark, he responded by beginning to build. But when Noah relayed this message to the people of his day, they did not believe it. Still, their refusal to believe the message did nothing to deter him from his determination to build an ark. He whom Peter called a preacher of righteousness, 2 Peter 2 and 5, kept hammering and heralding. Man's wickedness caused God to resort to a destructive flood, and it was Noah's godly fear and righteousness that caused God to warn him and to give him and others an opportunity to escape. Although Noah escaped the judgment of the flood, he was able to save only his family. The Bible records only 769 words spoken by God to Noah during his 950 years. The Bible records 392 words that God spoke to him before the flood and 377 words that he spoke to Noah after the flood. We who feel a need to receive reassurance from God regularly should learn a lesson from Noah. God told him to build the ark, and as far as we know, he did not speak to him again until after the flood, when he told Noah to leave the ark. And it was no wonder that the Bible speaks of Noah as an heir of righteousness. A man of less faith probably would have built the ark near a body of water so that if it did not rain, he could launch the craft and charge a fee to visit the floating zoo. But a man of faith provides no alternative to the command of God. He simply obeys. What a great challenge Noah provided for us today by his exemplary life of faith and fear, godly respect. May we always fear the Lord, for it is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9 and 10. Having that godly respect unto God is so key in obeying his word when he speaks unto us and acting upon the word of God. Now, God warned of destruction. The antediluvian civilization was more wicked than we can imagine. We believe our world is wicked today, but the Bible says of Noah's days that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. And you'll find that Genesis 6 and 5. It also adds that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh has corrupted its way upon the earth. Genesis 6 and 12. The four words every, only, all, and continually define the degree to which the people was degenerated. We can be careful that there is still a moral thread that runs through the fabric of North America. We face numerous challenges in our contemporary culture, but many of our schools and communities still retain a respect for God and moral values. In Noah's day, however, he and his family were the only ones who feared God. Now let's take a look at one of our points for today. God warned Noah. Over in Genesis 6 and 13, God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And God has always had a people of righteousness to whom he could relate and through whom he could communicate with mankind. In every dispensation, God has had someone to whom he could talk and convey his message so that they in turn will relay his word to the people. Nor was God's man in what many often refer to as second dispensation or the dispensation of conscience. Noah, who was a part of the godly line descending from Seth, also opposite to the godless line of Canaan, was the grandson of Methuselah and the great-grandson of Enoch, a patriarch known for his walk with God and his translation into heaven. Now, Genesis 6 and 8 state, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible also described Noah as a just man, perfect, and that he walked with God, and it is commendable that Noah maintained his integrity in spite of being surrounded by sin. This proved that we can live for God in a wicked world, at home, at work, at school, or wherever we may be exposed to iniquity. We can still live holy and righteously, even in a godless society. Now let's look here. Noah warned his world. 2 Peter 2 and 8. Noah, a preacher of righteousness. The Bible does not tell us how Noah evangelized his world, but it does call him a preacher of righteousness. How discouraging it may be have been to have preached for over a century and still not have any convert except 7 family members. Although this seemed like a failure in the field of evangelism, he did save his family. Ultimately, not all Christians today have achieved even the measure of success. Though Noah was a preacher of righteousness, it is interesting that the Bible does not record one incident where he tried to get anyone into the ark. God told him to build an ark to save his family and the animals. It was not recorded that God told him to invite everyone else into the ark or to preach that they needed to get into the ark. The Bible said that he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, Hebrews 11 and 7. It seemed that it was the presence of the ark that condemned the world and not necessarily his preaching. He was the preacher of righteousness and not condemnation. Jesus did not condemn the world. He preached righteousness. Those who did not believe were already condemned. See John 3, verses 17 through 21. Whether the people got into the ark was not the only deciding factor relative to their salvation. The people was lost because they would not repent of their wickedness, not merely because they failed to get into the ark. If they had been righteous, they would have gotten into the ark, but since they were wicked, they did not even consider it. Apparently, Noah did not preach, get into the ark, for the people needed to repent of their wickedness and obtain righteousness. Then they would have gone into the ark. Noah, sensing the need, preached righteousness. And that's still what is being preached today, righteousness and the need for repentance. It is vital in the life of an individual to repent and to live a righteous life before the Lord Jesus Christ, being baptized in Jesus' name and filling up with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Now let's look, God give warning for today. Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39. But as the day of Noah was, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the day that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Also, so shall also the coming of the second Son of Man be. Matthew 24, verse 37 through 39. Jesus warned that the time preceding his second coming would be similar to the days before the flood. He said that there would be a time of eating, drinking, and marrying and divorce, and moreover, there will be a lack of knowledge, and knew not until the time the flood came. The lack of knowledge Christ predicted will not be a lack of education, for another of a prophecy of the last day indicate knowledge shall increase, Daniel 12:4. Now, here still, while they will be increased in education in the last day, there will also be an ignorance of the things of God. So here we find a contrast, and we can see that even now, that increasing of education is going to increase, but the knowledge of God is going to be, people will be ignorant of the things of God. And such is us children of God. We must hold fast to the word of the Lord and continue to find ourselves reading the Bible, giving ourselves over unto the word of the Lord, and constantly studying the word of God, so much so that we will become like a storehouse of the word of the Lord or the Bible. We have literally received it into our heart, mind, and soul. Now let's look here. It said eating and drinking seem to imply a preoccupation with pleasure. It is evident that our present world is a pleasure hungry. Many people today spend much time and effort in the pursuit of personal pleasure. Jesus' prophecy concerning the last day harmonized with Paul's warning to Timothy, his son, in the gospel. Now let's take a look at the word of the Lord over in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4, and it reads on this line. It said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lover of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, traitors, heady, high-minders, lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God." And if we look, we can see these elements are so real today that we find people are lovers of themselves. They're covetous and boasters and proud, blasphemers, and unthankful and unholy. So here it was warned that these things will be so. Many things today reflect the time of moral decay of which both Jesus and Paul warned. Many people possess a casual attitude towards marriage and divorce, and often there is a little or no commitment between married individuals. The lyrics of the popular song over the past century displayed a gradual decline in morals. Compared to the songs of today, the popular tunes of the 50s seem like hymns. The lyrics of some popular songs are so bad that they have been banned in many areas. Much like a tree that decay inwardly and eventually fall heavily to the forest ground, North America is deteriorating morally, and its strength to stand is diminishing greatly. If America is going to remain upright, the people must return to the basic moral and virtues on which the nation was founded. Otherwise, America will realize their sudden destruction. Now, let's take a look here. Godly fear activates obedience. Now, let's take a look here. The fear of God initiates innumerable blessings. Seven verses in Proverbs begin with the word, the fear of the Lord. And let's take a look here at these seven. Number one, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. Number two, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, Proverbs 8:13. Number three, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. Number four, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, Proverbs 10:27. Number five, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, Proverbs 14:27. Number six, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, Proverbs 15 and 33. Number 7, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Proverbs 19:23. Scofield defines the fear of the Lord as a phrase of the Old Testament pity, meaning reverency, trust, with hatred of evil. It is not a feeling of anxiety or agitation caused by the pressure or presence or nearness of danger or evil or even pain, which is usually a definition of fear, but it is the reverence and the respect of God. The scripture states that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, and before a person can believe he by, he must reverence God. To reverence God is to regard with deep respect. To regard is to observe or to look at with firm, steady gaze. We must look at God and behold him through his word with a firm, steady gaze, our eyes upon the word. Behold, any person believes God, he must behold God, looking always, perceives loving. Fear of the Lord is also to hate evil, Proverbs 8 and 13. No one can truly respect God and love evil, for evil and God are incompatible. Consequently, respect for God and respect for evil is incompatible too. The fear of the Lord prolongs a person's days, Proverbs 10, verse number 27. For he becomes the benefactor of many blessings that may include health, Proverbs 3 and 8, protection, Proverbs 3 and 33, prosperity, Proverbs 3, verses 9 through 10. These are benefits that naturally encourage longevity. And so when we begin to fear God, that is going to cause us longevity of life. It's going to cause blessings. It's going to call protection as well as prosperity and also include good health as well. To fear the Lord is to tap into the fountain of abundant life, springing forth from God are all kinds of blessings that enhance life. Anyone wanting to really enjoy life must seriously consider serving the Lord. To have the fountain of life is to enjoy the continual source of life. It is an audacious fountain of joy, peace, and righteousness. God is able to allow all his grace to abound as we continue to fear him. Now let's look. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, Proverbs 15:33. Revering the Lord enrolls a person in the school of wisdom, where instruction comes in many ways. To fear the Lord is not only to register, however, but is also to graduate eventually. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, Proverbs 19 and 23. For the Lord is life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14 and 6. Fearing the Lord causes a person to seek out and receive the abundant life according to only by Jesus Christ. The life that Jesus gives ultimately leads a person to eternal life. Number B, godly fear precedes hearing and obeying. When God told Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood, Genesis 6 and 14, he made it. There is no indication that he questioned or argued with God. Further, he did not say, I will pitch it without, but why within? Nor obey God explicitly and completely. The ark was to be Noah's way to escape judgment and to pitch on the inside as well, as the outside made the vehicle safe and ensured his salvation. Today, the plan of salvation as given in Acts 2:38 is our way to escape the judgment that is coming upon the world. We have been careful to demonstrate Christianity outwardly, which is important, but we must not neglect the inward aspect of true Christianity. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for their emphasis on the exteriors to neglect of the interior. We must not neglect neither. We must take care of both the inward man as well as the outward man. As respect without respond is not truly respect, so reverence without obedience is not truly reverence. Jesus said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." John 14:23. Hearing is only a function of the ear and a mere auditory stimulus, but obedience is a response of the heart. People must not hear the gospel only with their ears. They must also hear the gospel with their heart and respond obediently to it. And that is so key. Now let's look at another point here. And before we go there, I just want to read a little story here. It said, once there was lived in a remote area, a poor family that had never owned or even seen a mirror. One day the husband found a broken piece of a mirror. Not knowing what it was, he said, "Well, I have found a picture of a dear old dad." Not waiting anymore to bother his newly found treasure, he hid it between the mattress for their cruel iron frame bed. Frequently, he would slip into the bedroom when he thought no one was watching and pull the picture out and admired it. Well, his wife, observing this strange behavior, saw him one day as he pulled the piece of mirror out of and take a look at it. Waiting until he was absent from the house, she hurried to the bedroom, too, to see what was interesting him there. When she pulled the mirror out and looked at it, she said, "Oh, that's the old hussy that he has been looking at." Both husband and wife were seeing themselves, but neither recognized their image. How true this is of the mirror of the word. But if we are honest, we can all see our image and do something about it. So we must look in the word of the Lord and do something about that image that we see or that God is allowing to reflect upon us, because we want to be after his image, moving and having our being in him. Now let's look at another point. Godly fear motivated Noah to build an altar. The first thing Noah did when he left the ark was to build an altar and offer to God an offering. This act underscored the importance that Noah placed on his relationship with God. A trip to the altar is a good way to begin a new life in a new world. Whether we are beginning a new job, a marriage, or rearing of the children, or just a new day, we need to build an ark. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. The altar represented a place where Noah met with God and God met with Noah. A meeting place with God is vital to our victory. As Noah could not have made it in the new world without an experience at the altar, neither can we expect to live for God in this world without a regular and constant altar experience, where we come to the altar and deal with situations that we are dealing with. And I come to tell you that you will be greatly blessed as you open up your heart and allow that to happen and take place. Now let's take a look at the beginning heirs of righteousness. Noah found grace. In the Old Testament, the word grace comes from the Hebrew word chin, meaning graciousness, kindness, favor. Having the meaning of bending or scooping in kindness to an inferior. Figuratively, God stooped to warn Noah of the pending doom, giving him a way of escape from judgment that he was soon to bring upon the world. God was not obligated to warn Noah, nor was Noah worthy to receive a warning despite his righteousness. If Noah had merited that kind of treatment, it would not have been grace. It would have been merely the payment of debt. Whatever we receive from God, it is because of his grace. There is no way that we can earn or deserve any recognition from God. The knowledge of this should do away with self-righteousness, but it does not. Unfortunately, it's easy for a person to lapse into legalism and feel that he deserves what he received from God because of his righteous lifestyle. Nevertheless, we have no righteousness except that which God gives us by Jesus Christ. Now let's look at Philippians 3 and 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Noah's walk with God not only attracted the attention of God, but it also saved him. By being righteous, he was separated from the evil masses that aroused the wrath of God. By being righteous, he received a remedy for the wrath. By being righteous, he saved his house. And you'll see Hebrews 11 and 7, 1 Peter 3 and 20. Now let's look at another point here about Noah, who feared God. Noah was prosperous in God. Genesis 9, verses number 1 and 7, verse 7. And God blessed Noah and his son and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And he and you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. It was God's will for Noah and his family to prosper in this new world. And God has cleansed the world with the flood, making it more livable habitat. It was only fitting that Noah and his family enjoy a fresh new start in their pristine world. As Noah prospered and was fruitful in the newly purged world, it was God's will that we would enjoy a fruitful life with a spiritual prosperity that can commensurate with Christ's teaching. It is not a violation of Christian principle to be successful. It is God's promise and will that we prosper spiritually as we recognize and obey principles of the scripture. Now let's take a look at another scripture, the 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. The word prosper in the 3 John 2 is translated from two Greek words meaning to help on the world, combined with the meaning of the Greek word from the beginning, which is comforter, is translated one can alongside to help, one's called alongside to help, and a person have encouraging scenario. When we give our life to the Lord, he comes not only to live within us, but also to walk along the side to assist us on the road of our lives. And so isn't it awesome to know, child of God, that God is walking right by our side and that he will go before us and make crooked places straight, and he will go in and exalt our valley and bring down our high places so that we're able to ascend up and do the work in the will of the Lord. God is so worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our glory, and he's worthy of all the honor that's due unto him. And what we as children of God, we must endeavor to press forward in the things of God. Look how Noah, he began to warn the people and let them know. He began to teach about righteousness and encouraging the people to repent. And God told him the ones that was going to get in. And so he went out and obeyed God. And so obedience to the word of God and the voice of God is still key and relevant for the people of God. Oh, yes, we must be found looking and seeking after God and the things of God. Oh, yes, yes, when everything else is falling by the wayside, God's still yet on the throne. He's still yet making ways out of no ways. He's still opening doors unto his people. Oh, yes, Shalabosikirianda. He's still blessing his people and stretching forth his hand and providing for his people. Now, let's take a look. Noah became the heirs of righteousness. Hebrews 11:7 from the Amplified Bible offer an interesting insight to Noah's righteous relationship with God. Prompted by faith, Noah, being warned by God, considered the events of which was yet there was no visible sign, took heed and diligently and reverently constructed and prepared an ark for the deliverance of his own family. By this, his faith was relied on God. He passed judgment and sentence on the world's unbelief and became an heir and a possessor of righteousness. That relation of right being right into which God put the person who has faith. And so here Noah, he didn't have a sign. He didn't put a fleece out, but he just obeyed God and started preparing like God wanted them to. And we as children of God, we must start preparing just like God wants us to. Yes, we live in this world, but we're not of this world. Yes, we live in this world, but guess what? We're still waiting for the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And many people may think in their mind, say, well, you know, people been saying that he's on his way back, and he's on his way back, and he have not came back yet. But when you really look into the matter, and I want to invite you to consider also that he has come back and is coming back and things. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And those same very ones that perhaps probably have told you about that may be very well gone, whom he have came back and gotten his own. Amen. And hand plucked them out and taken them on to glory. So it doesn't mean that he, because you don't see the world coming to an end right now, that he doesn't mean that he's not coming back. He's still yet coming back, just like he said he was. Coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You may say, well, the world is still going on, but guess what? He's still taking his precious saints on to glory, and he's still going to rapture his church out. That God be true and every man a liar. And that's what the word of the Lord says. Amen. And things, because he will do just what he said he will do. Now, let's look here. The righteousness is not just being right or correct or accurate. Righteousness is a relationship with God in which we are believing and he is imputing. The righteousness that God imputes or credits to our spiritual account is his righteousness, not our righteousness. Yet it makes us right or just. When Noah believed God, it was accounted to him as it was to Abraham for righteousness. Thus, Noah became the heirs of righteousness. So here we find Noah being the heir of righteousness. Now let's look at another point. It says here, God has heirs of righteousness today. Let's invite you to look at the scripture. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and the heirs according to the promise. That's over in Galatians 3 and verse number 29. Obedience to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ establishes a relationship wherein the believer is counted righteous with God. It is not an attitude of the believer, but of God. It is his righteousness which he clothed us. Now let's look here at the scripture over in Romans chapter number 10, verses number 3 and 4. It reads on this line, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believe in. That was Romans chapter number 10, verses number 3 and 4. Now let's look at another scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 30. And that reads on this line, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And so here, when you are baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, you are made into the wisdom and the righteousness, the sanctification and redemption. It said, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Here it is. Who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You see that over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and 30. So when you take on that precious name, being baptized in the name of Jesus, you're taking on the wisdom of God, on his righteousness and sanctification and redemption, being redeemed back. Now, let's take a look for just a moment here and reflect upon. We just talked about God have heirs of righteousness today. We also talked about Noah became the heir of righteousness and how that Noah was prosperous in the things of God and in God, and that Noah found grace because he was the heir of righteousness. And so it is, child of God, you have grace. And you can prosper in the things of God because you are heirs of the righteousness of God today. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. Yes, Lord, yes. And let's look here. God wanted to warn the people of destruction was coming upon the land, but they did not want to hear. So God warned Noah and told him to prepare an ark. And what Noah did, he immediately obeyed the voice of God. He immediately did what God called him to do. Noah warned his world. And then God even warns us today over in Matthew 24, verse 37 and 39 states, but as the day of Noah was, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the day that were before the flood, there was eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, while unto the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Here it is. So also the coming of the Son of Man shall be. And so we as children of God, we need to be found watching and looking. And we talked about the reverencing of God, the fear of God. And we looked at the 7 points, and I'll go over them real briefly again in your hearing of the 7 points where it talks about fear of God. Number one, it says in Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 8:13 states, the second one, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Number three, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You find that over in Proverbs 9 and 10. Number four, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Proverbs 10 and 27. Number five, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 14 and 27. Number six, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Proverbs 15 and 33. Number seven, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Proverbs 19, verse number 23. And so we also talked about that the fear means to regard with deep respect. And so what God wants us to have is a deep respect for God and the things of God. Not only that, but with the fear of the Lord, it's going to prolong an individual life. And you can find that over in, again, Proverbs 10 and 7. And not only that, it's going to come with many benefits, the benefit of health, the benefit of protection, the benefit of prosperity. God is going to bless because you have a deep sense of regard and respect for the things of God. And so Noah, out of that place of deep respect, moved forward to do the work and the will of God. And so it is with us. out of our deep respect for God and the things of God, we can move forward to execute the will of God. The story of Noah and the ark, though difficult for some modern theologians to believe, provides not only an interesting story of what really happened, but also a narrative teaching that rewards a proper respect for God. Noah, who lived in a wicked society, feared God. And if we really want to have eternal life, we will fear the Lord. Our lesson today gives us the account of Noah's warning the judgment after God told him he was going to destroy the world with a flood. We are reminded that Jesus said there is a parallel between Noah's day and ours, therefore serving as a warning for us today. The book of Proverbs revealed in 7 different verses what the fear of the Lord really is and what it will accomplish in our lives. It was his fear of the Lord that caused Noah to hear and obey God by building an ark and an altar to him. Fearing God is always reflected in obedience to him, and God always rewards obedience. To be righteous is to be in right standing or relationship to God. It is not a matter of achieving our own state of righteousness, for our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. Rather, it is being endowed with the righteousness of God on the basis of our faith in Jesus Christ and obedience to him. The righteousness of God is rewarded to us not on the basis of our goodness or state of our deserving it, but by grace of the God revealed in Jesus Christ. As Noah was an heir of righteousness in his days, so are we heirs of righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ. By God's grace, he has allowed us to partake of the righteousness of Jesus Christ through the endowment of his Holy Spirit in our lives. What a profound thing. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, where we have been endowed with, when one received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance, you receive that endowment, the righteousness of God, wisdom, and we talked about sanctification and redemption all through Jesus Christ. And so here we are as heirs of righteousness of God. We must, as never before, draw nigh unto God with the full assurance, knowing that we are the righteousness of God, especially more so when you go down in the name of Jesus and when you get filled up with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. It is key and vital. It's God's plan of salvation, of putting us back in right standing with God from our falling state to a state of redemption, being bought back and pardoned by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our righteousness. And so, children of God, we must, as never before, move forward with a deep reverence for God and the things of God. Whatever God is calling you to do in the house of God is key and vital for us to move forward with great reverence, get great respect, great desire, and deep, deep respect of God. If he called you into the house of the Lord and things to do a certain thing, do it with deep respect to God, and God will bless you. Don't do it with murmuring and complaining, but come in wherever God planted you. If he planted you even in a new vineyard, a new place, and things, move forward in the God-given gift that he's given to you with a deep reverence for God and the things of God, and God will truly bless you and overtake you in a mighty and a special way, because that's how we want to let God know, Lord, we honor you, we esteem you for what you have done in our lives and what you're going to do and what you're doing even right now. And as we're moving forward and upward and forward in the things of God, God will bless you. God will strengthen you. God will undergird you. God will fortify you. He will do that. All we need to do is draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto us. Live holy and righteous every day. It's a renewing of our mind daily. We have to renew our mind daily and keep our mind stayed on the Lord daily as we move in and out and through the vicissitudes of life. Remember, we're pilgrims just sojourning through this land. God wants to bless. He wants to fortify. He wants to strengthen we, his people. And so I pray as you move forward in your God-given calling, whether it's taking minute steps towards that, be consistent, be faithful, continue on with that which he's placing your hand to do. Don't look back. Continue. That's what Noah did. He didn't look back. And so I come to tell someone, don't look back. Just continue on. And in the things that God is doing. Yes, you may be in a new place. Yes, it may be a new season. Yes, it may be a new thing. But continue on in what you know. What do you know? To stay in the word of the Lord. What do you know? To stay prayerful and prayed up. What do you know? To continue on fasting and praying and doing about good works of the Lord. And as you continue on in that vein, God will lead you to your place of your blessing. He will lead you into the place of ministry. He will open the door. He will make the way out of no way. As we endeavor to trust the Lord our God, God is going to do it, child of God, as never before. And so I come to encourage your heart and speak a word in your spirit today to let you know you can make it. God will provide. God will open a door and make a way out of no way. All you need to do is trust him and never doubt. There's one thing that I would say. The only failure is the failure to believe. And recognizing that God wants you to just trust him and believe him with a deep reverence that if he said it, he's surely able to bring it to pass. And all we have to do is put our confidence in the Lord our God, and he'll set everything else in order as we press forward and not look back. And so on today, I come to you as never before to encourage your heart in the things of God, that God will endeavor to bless you and keep you in and through and by the power of God. Truly, God is great, and he's greatly to be praised, and he's able to do all things but fail. Father, we come right once again in the precious name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost, saying we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness. We thank you for making a way out of no way. We ask, oh God, that you bless every hearer, Lord, as they fear you with a deep reverence in their heart, as they may move forward in ministry and service and in the house of God and even outside the house of God in the community, that they will do their work, Lord, as heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. And Father, you will reward and you will replenish and you will make a way out of no way, because our dependency is upon you. Oh God, you are our provider, you are our protector, you are our keeper, you are our life giver. And we put our trust and confidence in you, O Lord, recognizing, Lord, that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, Lord, according to the power that worketh in us. We ask, O God, that you will get the glory, Lord. We ask, O God, that you will get the praise in and through and out of our lives, because we recognize, God, that you are the righteous Savior. We recognize, God, you are the Holy One of Israel, Lord. We recognize, God, you are the life giver, Lord. We recognize, God, that you are the lily in the valley, the bright and morning star. We recognize, God, that you are the bishop and Lord, the lover of our soul. Oh, Lord, our Lord. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name. We'll give you the glory and the honor, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, child of God. And as you have that great, deep, deep reverence in your heart, God is going to pour his wisdom out upon you. He's going to give you greater understanding to do his blessed will. So I encourage you today, and I pray for my radio land on today all around the world. I want you to know we love you. We're excited about all of our covenant partners that are believing God with us and praying with us, and our covenant prayer partners from around the world. Write me, email me, hear from you. I want to hear how God is blessing you and what God is doing in and through your life. Send me an email or go to my website and get our address and send us a letter or send us over an email, because I want to hear from you. I want to be able to touch and agree with you and believe God with God, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that God that we can even imagine in our mind, ask or even think, according to the power that worketh within us. That's the word of the Lord. And so God is saying that he will do it. All he wants you to do is to trust him and to believe him, and he will work it out on your behalf. I come to tell you, child of God, don't you dare fret. I come to encourage you and admonish you. Don't you dare waver in your faith. If God's spoken it, he's surely able to bring it to pass. He is the creator and even the God of this universe. He'll command his angels to get up, take flight, and to bring it to you. And so I come to tell you and to admonish you that the God in which you serve, he's able to do it. All you need to do is trust God. All you need to do is believe God and begin to confess out of your mouth the report that you believe in that God. I heard Isaiah said that who will believe the report and the arm of the Lord. And so we as children of God, we must remember that the report of the Lord, that God, we call you faithful. Even Sarah said, I judge you faithful. That was her report. She said, I judge you faithful, God. And I come to tell somebody, God is faithful. He'll do just what he said he would do. If he has to create a whole new thing for you that you may be blessed, he'll raise people up across the nation to come and bless you, because that's the type of God that we serve, and he's able to do it. All he needs you to do is to believe him. Any failure is the failure to believe that God will do it. And so I encourage you on today, child of God, to continue to look to the hill from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. And so, child of God, in my closing, I'm getting ready to go off the air today. I just wanted to say again, I am just so excited about you. Yes, you, child of God, who have joined us on today. I'm excited about your future. It looks much brighter than today, and God is getting ready to do something really awesome. Remember, when you're down to nothing, God is up to something, and he's going to work it out. And in my closing, as I would say, that you would just, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one prayer away from your blessing. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened, according to Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 7. Again, if you don't have it, God got it. And you just one question away from your miracle. Go back and ask God all over again. Go back and seek again and go back and knock again and watch God perform it on your behalf. There's nothing too hard for our God. So be encouraged. I look forward to hearing from you. I'm looking forward for you to come in and join us again at the next time. And I pray that you will continue on to doing the work and the will of the Lord. God have great blessings for you. Continue to be encouraged. Stay in your word. Continue to fast and stay in the house of the Lord. And watch God continue to bless you and your children and your children's children. May God richly bless you is my prayer. God bless you. Bye-bye.